We have been working through the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5, and a couple of weeks now, this will be the third week. The first week we did, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who recognize their need for a Savior, the opportunity we have, and that God provided that, that answer is already given to us, that He has already been working on our behalf and has justified us. That's the blessing of being poor in spirit, that it's already been taken care of. And then last week, Ben covered, blessed are those who mourn, those who understand their own brokenness, the sin in which we deal with every day, and that there's a blessing in that when we recognize how we can mourn over that and how it affects the world around us. And as a result of those two things, recognition of who we are and understanding more about what we get to do, today we're going to talk about blessed are the meek. And what does it mean to be meek? First thing you think about is that it's really close to another word, weak, right? And that's not, they are very different words. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually the opposite. It's the ultimate level of strength, because it is strength that is under control. It is strength that is managed in such a way that it is beneficial. We all know, we've seen destructive patterns of strength, right? You see things that happen, and we see tornadoes and hurricanes. I wouldn't call them meek, would we? Right? They destroy everything in their path. They're not under control. They're very unpredictable. And so meekness is having the ability not only to be strong, but to control its effect in the world around you. So you are blessed if you are meek, and you shall inherit the earth. And we're going to talk about both of those things and what that will look like at some point in the future. Can't say when, don't know when. Honestly, that's not up to us, right? That's up to God. Whenever it happens, we will be a part of it, and that we'll talk about at the very end in Revelation. The first passage that I looked at as I thought about meekness and how I might want to describe it is a passage in which Jesus actually invites us into His service. And in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it's a fairly familiar passage you'll recognize. If you're following along in YouVersion, you've already read it and see it there. But Jesus had the ability not to tell people what to do, but to invite them to do it with Him, right? The ultimate way of leadership in a meek way, they followed Him because they saw His strength, but they also understood they could join with Him because it was under control. And He invites all of us into that in Matthew chapter 11. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. The opportunity to work alongside of or in co-labor with Christ, as His humility and gentleness are on display in our world, we get to be yoked under that. That yes, some people look at it and say, well, the Bible has a lot of do's and don'ts and a lot of things that just tell me what to do, and I don't find any of that. I don't have to listen to what God has to say, folks. In this world, I have a choice. And Jesus invites us to join Him on purpose, to change why we do things, to use the strengths, the abilities, the talents, all of the things that we have in purpose for Him. So that it can be demonstrated that we work together. Come to Me if you need rest. My burden isn't heavy, He says. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. If you put it on here, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to put together a team that works together in the simplest fashion, and I'm going to lead you to the way that I want you to go. He invites you into that process. And He doesn't just leave us there. Jesus talks about these things. He invites us into these relationships and He demonstrates them as well. Jesus' entire life was a demonstration for us, an example. So He invites us to be a part of what He's doing. He leads us and tells us He's going to guide us. He's going to be the one literally to yoke us and guide us. And then by example, He leads it out. He lives it right there in front of us. Throughout the pages of Scripture, all those things that are recorded, His demonstration, and the most encapsulary way that I could find is Philippians chapter 2. If you've read through Philippians, you know what I'm talking about. Christ's humility, right? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. This is the way that they talk about Jesus. This is Paul now talking about Jesus' example to us. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So as He leads us, as He invites you to come, all you who are heavy laden, heavy burdened, for My yoke is easy, My burden is light. What He's saying is, I've already broken the ground for you. I've already given you an example to follow. I'm already leading, I'm already guiding, I've already been there and I've done that. And Paul is summing it up by saying, you can't do things that benefit only you. You've got to consider your effect on other people. Not do it out of selfishness and not do it out of vain conceit either, so that people will look to you and say, wow, I'm glad you're doing it. You did a great job. Those shouldn't be our motives for doing what we do in Jesus. We should honestly consider other people better than ourselves. That we would treat other people the way that we want to be treated. Sounds a bit cliche, but it's biblical, folks. That's the reality of the world we live in, is that if everybody would do that, we would be much happier people. If we would understand what it means, as Jesus was here in form, He was in the form of God, but yet had the ability to not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He understood that His role was in subordination to His Father's plan. That if He didn't follow the plan, nothing would be accomplished. He allowed Himself to be a servant, to live His life as an example for us, and became obedient to His Father, so that we might see what it looked like to follow the plan, to understand that in the end, yes, we understand and we look at Matthew and we read through the crucifixion and we think of all the pain that Jesus went through, but in the end, it was a triumph over death. That ultimately God's plan was the best plan, and it had glory in mind. Jesus just had to follow through with the plan, endure what He went through, but then also was then glorified to the right hand of the Father in the end. Jesus had to do that knowing full well that the end was coming, but it was going to take these pains and these trials, these tribulations to get there. He had to demonstrate because He had the power to be God, But he had to restrain it. He had to be meek among us. We had to understand what it looked like to have the strength to do the will of God and yet not do it on my behalf. To do it on the God the Father's behalf. To have strength and power, but have it ultimately under control. To recognize our need for a Savior and to be broken over the effects of our sin. As we understand all of those things, we understand the place that we need a Savior. And then that's when it becomes light. Because we know we can leave that stuff with Jesus as well. Because ultimately He has more strength than I could ever muster. More ability to deal with what I'm going through than I could ever come up with. So the beauty of understanding how poor in spirit I am, or how I mourn over my own sin, is that there is a place to take it. And in His meekness and in His example, He has shown us over and over and over how He wants to do that for us. Fathers. Today being Father's Day, we looked at the things that we wanted to talk about, I thought meekness would be a good one to talk about on Father's Day. It's not an easy one. I read a description of what meekness was. Anger. But at the right time, in the right measure, and for the right reason. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul tells fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them, is the NIV's word. Fathers, we have a way of using anger to motivate our kids sometimes. That's how we're wired. I like to say that I'm just passionate, right? But sometimes I'm just angry. Jesus led in that as well. We like to have this picture of meek and mild Jesus being submissive to His captors. And he was. He controlled His strength in that environment because it was part of the plan. But what about the money changers? What do you think they thought of Jesus? I think they were scared to death of Him. I think He walked into the temple and started chucking tables around. That's what the scriptures say. Because it was a right anger at the right time, and it was the right measure. Doesn't say he took a sword and hacked them all up, but he made his point, didn't he? You can still be passionate, fathers. You can still be in your child's face at times, gently reminding them of who pays the bills. But do it in a way that's under control. You got to really think about the long-term effects. Just as Jesus allowed His meekness to be applied to God's plan, you need to allow God to work in and through you in a meek way with your children. I'm not telling you to let children walk all over you. I'm not telling you to just walk away. I'm telling you to do it in a way that would honor God. And only you can figure that out for yourself. Most of us know when we've gone too far. If we really process it, men, and think about where we've been, we know where those lines are and we know how to draw those lines. And the ultimate display of fatherhood is meekness. To be able to take care of our family and our children in such a way that they understand our passion, that we love them, that we want to protect them, but we're going to do it the right way, at the right time, for the right reason. Jesus is our example in that. Yes, He bowed His head to those who took Him captive because it was not His time. It was not the right time. But when he entered the temple, it was the right time, the right measure, for the right reason. There are things we have to stand up for in our kids' lives, and sometimes they need to hear it a little more loudly than others. Try not to provoke your children to anger. If they see anger in you, they will think that is the response to the situations. When life deals them some tough things, if you respond in anger, then they will be trained to respond in anger. To allow yourself to control that is the ultimate display of strength. Figure out where those lines are and what is necessary for the situation and still accomplish what it is that God wants to be done in that situation. For all of us, we need to be reminded of that. This is not a concept that Jesus talks about only in the New Testament and it's brought up there. This concept is all through Scripture that blessed are the meek, or that the meek shall inherit the earth. That this is a high calling to meekness. David wrote about it in Psalm 37. Psalm 37:4 or 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." David knew about it. It was a concept that God had been impressing upon the nation of Israel for a long time. What does it mean to display your strength under control? God had done that from the very beginning. He could have continually wiped us out, right? He did it once in the flood. His power is awesome and mighty and can overwhelm the entire earth. At any moment, we could be gone. But part of His character and part of what He wants us to be is someone that is meek, that displays strength under control. He's talked all through the Scriptures about this concept. David talked about it there. Jesus talks about it in the New Testament. And then in Revelation, John talks about it as well. You see, there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to come back. The rapture is going to happen. He's going to take His church to be with Him. But then He's going to come back and He's going to set up a kingdom here on earth. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And all of His saints are going to be with Him. He's going to set up a place on earth for us, those of us who believe in Jesus, to spend 1,000 years with Him as our King. And in Revelation, it talks about that. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. "And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, who is Jesus, that was slain. Each of them holding a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed Your people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And You have made them a kingdom and priests to Your God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" We literally will inherit the earth. The understanding is that for 1,000 years we will have the earth as it was intended. Now, I love being outdoors, and you guys know that. I love the things that I've seen. Just this week, there was a picture going around from Don Hall up in Alaska, and I thought, man, look at the mountain, and it's just incredible what God has done. But folks, this is what the earth looks like marred by sin. To have it restored to what it looked like when it was originally defined by God, I have no idea what that's going to look like. But I can't wait. To have the opportunity to be with Jesus and to be here for 1,000 years on an earth that is fully restored to its glory. to allow him to be our king, finally, as the Israelites wanted it in the Old Testament, right? They wanted him to be their king and set up a kingdom. Then when he finally came, they thought, what are you doing? We get to do that. It just wasn't time yet. It wasn't the right time yet. It's coming. That time will come when we get to enjoy that time with him. Part of it is to demonstrate your meekness. You are blessed if you are meek. If you have an understanding of what Jesus was all about in his meekness, in his submission to his Father for the plan, and he invites you to be part of that process, if you understand what that means, then you are going to get to be here for that 1,000 years. The recognition of your need for a Savior, the recognition of the sin that easily entangles you, and then the recognition of how can I utilize the strength that God gives me to do what it is that I need to do in my life. To focus on those things. We're going to be blessed by having 1,000 years on this earth with Jesus. We get to inherit the earth. That's what will come. What does it look like right now? To be meek inside of our current surroundings. If I can get my pages open here. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is the call. Paul has laid the groundwork through all of his New Testament letters, helping us understand what it looks like to follow after Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he urges us to walk in a manner worthy of that. If you understand that you're poor in spirit, but you've been justified. If you understand that you mourn for the sin that's in you and its effect on the world, but you've been forgiven. And you understand what it means to follow after a leader like Jesus that was strong but under control. If that's the person that you want to be, then therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what it looks like to display meekness to one another. To demonstrate all that God has done in our lives to each other. Sometimes this is one of the most difficult places to be meek. And it should be the easiest. To understand what God has done on our behalf, to understand what He's doing for our future, to embrace it, and to walk in a manner worthy of that call. It takes an incredible amount of strength to keep unity. It takes an incredible amount of meekness to display all of your strengths under control together to do what it is that God is doing here with His body. All of us have unique gifts and abilities and talents. We've all been called to different pieces inside of what's going on here at the church. And we get an opportunity to do that, but we've got to do it with humility and gentleness, and we've got to consider others better than ourselves, and that requires an incredible amount of strength and control to be meek in those situations, to do it in a way that benefits everybody and continues to strengthen the bond of peace that exists because of what Jesus did for each one of us. The fact that we get to be together and do this together, that we get to follow a leader that has been there and done it, that we could read how he handled those situations, that we could follow how he interpreted situations and listen to his very words. That's what we get to do together. To have the opportunity to show the rest of the world what it looks like to be unified for one goal, the bond of peace. That we are at peace with God. We get to show others that through our meekness, through the way in which we do things in our world. Doesn't mean you can't accomplish things. Doesn't mean you don't go out and do what it is that God's called you to do in the workplace. But you do it humbly and gently, so as to glorify God and not yourself. It's the ultimate display of control. To accomplish something and yet give the credit away. That's what we're called to do. That's the way in which we walk worthy of the call we've been given. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to join you, to be a part of what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Lord, you have opened up a tremendous amount of opportunity for us that we might follow you. You have invited us in to be a part of your plan, and you will guide us, and you have given us the words in your scripture to do so. Lord, I pray that we would commit them to our hearts, that we would study them with our minds, that we would be an example to those around us of what it means to do what it is that you have impressed upon our hearts, but ultimately give you all of the glory for doing so. Lord, thanks for working in and through us. Thanks again for bringing us together today, giving us yet another example of what your body will look like someday. Lord, thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name.